Good to see you. Hope your Tuesday is off to a good start. Our speaker today is no stranger to many of you. He's the dean for all of you who are in the School of Business. Mr. Mike Buter came back to BJU in 1995 and worked at the press for a handful of years. He's been on the faculty for quite a while now, and this is his fourth year as dean of the School of Business. Many of you are familiar with some of his past experience, including executive time at Dr. Pepper. And what I appreciate about Mr. Buter is not only his courageous leadership, but his evident love for God and God's people. He's a very giving man, and he's used the opportunities God has given him for God's glory. So I'm really excited personally to hear him challenge us from God's word today. Mr. Buter.
Well, good morning. Picture yourself in the den, drinking a hot cup of coffee right now. Does that sound pretty good? But it's kind of warm out, isn't it? So instead of a hot cup of coffee, what would be a good ice-cold beverage for you to be say it out loud. What is it? Okay, the smart people have said the right answer. Ice-cold Dr. Pepper. This is subliminal, okay, what we're giving you here. But you're enjoying your favorite beverage at the den. You're relaxing, and you and I are talking face-to-face. Now, we're contrasting this a little bit to last Tuesday because Dr. Pettit preached on the Creed, which was one fantastic message 7 days ago. Well, I'm kind of taking the pendulum, and I'm bringing it across this way here. And today, it's just you and I having a one-on-one conversation about a question that you just asked me. The question is, Mr. Buter, I know what leadership is. I got an idea of what leadership is. But how do I become a leader? How do I put leadership in place? So I want to kind of talk through that with you a little bit here in the time that we have. The topic here is leadership, and I really want to ask some important questions like, why should you sit here for 30 minutes and listen to me talk? Okay, so here's the first reason why you should listen. Pretty soon, you will no longer be a student. You can't be a student for the rest of your life. Kind of sad, isn't it? But you're going to be going to a job interview. When you go to the job interview, what's the number one attribute that they're looking for in the job candidate? It's easy. Say the answer. Yeah, grade point average probably, okay? Grade point average is usually number one out there, yeah. What's number two? Now you can say the word. Go ahead. Leadership. So you're sitting down for a job interview, and they're looking at your grade point average. They're looking to see what have you been doing on campus while you've been in college. What kind of leadership experience have you exhibited and documented here at Bob Jones University? Here's another reason to listen today. You get a really good job. You graduate. You get a really good job, and you work at it for 2 or 3 years, and you got it down. Are you ready for some growth now? Are you ready to grow beyond that first entry-level job? It's getting a little bit boring by this time. Do you want to be promoted? Your promotion is going to come largely based on your leadership, number one, but also your communication skills. If you can write well, you're going to get promoted. If you can speak well, you're going to get promoted. But leadership comes in as a major player here as far as being promoted in your job someday. Here's number three. Hey, are you concerned about the times right now? Have you been following politics? Are you a little bit concerned about the way things are in our country right now? And you're looking forward into the future saying, oh, this is scary. Well, one of the solutions for the scariness of the future is having strong families. If we're going to have strong families, what do we need, guys? Look up on the chart up here. Basically, we're talking about leadership. We need strong male leadership in the home. And my final reason to listen today is that some of you are going to be pastors, some missionaries, some teachers, some business professionals, some medical personnel, all different levels of leadership out there. But, you know, as we get involved in our local churches need people who step up and say, hey, I'm going to be a leader in whatever capacity God has for me in the local body of believers. So it's important. Listen very closely as we go through some principles here of leadership. I want to talk about first here the principle of leading with love. A definition of love here is respect, devotion, an affection that leads to willing self-sacrificial service. Let me take this down to a business perspective for a minute. If you're going to circle one word on the slide up here, it's the word respect. Business relationships are based on respect. Now, you weren't expecting me to start off talking about love when I was talking about leadership. You have more of a John Wayne type mentality of, you know, being holding the six shooters in both hands and being a rough, tough cowboy, being a leader. Well, let me put you in this situation. You're standing in a room, and as you're standing in a room, 75 kids come walking in. They just got off the bus for the bus, the church bus. The church bus has been picking up kids on the rougher part, the inner city part of town. These kids are in fourth grade, fifth grade, and sixth grade. They've been riding in the bus for 1 hour, and now they're in the room with you, and you're the leader. What do you need? I'm talking about how, the how part of leadership. What do you need to be a leader when 75 kids who have been sitting in a bus for 1 hour, who are from the rough part of town, come walking in? What works? Okay, let me help you answer that question. I used to teach junior church for bus kids who were in fourth, fifth, and sixth grade. I was the song leader, believe it or not. Can you imagine that? I was a song leader, mainly because we didn't really sing songs. It was more like Father Abraham type stuff as far as getting them ready for the preaching of the word. But, you know, my job was to lead them and get their attention. Now, one way to get the attention of fourth, fifth, and sixth graders is to scream at the top of your lungs. How many think that's a good idea? Okay, that's what I was expecting. How do you get their attention? Okay, can I tell you what I did? By God's grace, went out and I started mixing with on the boys' side, boys on this side, girls on this side, and I started playing a game called Hand Slap. And I would go off to the side and I'd say, hey, put your hands on top of my hands. Okay, put your hands on top of my hands. And they'd put their hands right on top of my hands. And then I'd say, when I move my hands, you can move your hands out of the way. Okay, so I'm kind of shaking my hands, and I come over and slap them. You ever play that? You know what I'm talking about? Some of you do. Many of you do. Okay. So, now what happens if I shake my hands, and they move their hands before I move? What do I get? I get a free slap, don't I? I get to take both hands and slap them. Now, I'm having fun, okay? I'm a lot bigger than these boys. A little bit quicker sometimes. Anyway, these bus boys are eating up the attention. They're standing in line to play hand slap with Mr. Buter. Now, it's my responsibility to get control of this group, so I go back up on the platform, get behind the microphone, and I say, everybody sit down, we're going to start the service. What do you think happens? The boys sit down. When the boys sit down, what do the girls do? They sit down too. So it works. It works. Now, how does this pertain to you? Respect here is based on acceptance. These boys felt love. They felt acceptance. They did not have a male role model at home. Most of them come from single family homes or single adult homes. They're just craving love. But because they got some love, they had respect. And that's one way for you guys to lead through love, leading with love. Here's another example. The Dr. Pepper Company and the 7-Up Company merged. They merged together. The leader of the 7-Up financial operations met with me in a room right after the merger took place. We're talking about the finances, what to do. This man was very agitated and very upset. He said words that nobody will ever say in Rhoda Haver Auditorium, if you know what I'm talking about. Okay, so it wasn't a pretty situation. And I did not do everything right. I am not an angel. I sin like you, okay? But in that situation, God gave me special grace of leadership here to sit there and just listen patiently to his ranting and his raving. When he got done, I said the words, "Thank you." I said, "Thank you for sharing me what's on your heart. This is important for you to be transparent, and I appreciate you just letting loose and letting me know what's inside your mind." Now, that was the love of the gospel. Gospel love says you don't give him what he deserves. The gospel love says you love him despite his sin. But by giving that level of love, this individual and I became very good team members. He eventually worked for me, and he became the controller of Dr. Pepper 7-Up Companies, Inc. We worked together for 7 or 8 years. We were close like this, but this is by God's grace. Okay? Love provides leadership. And here's a third example. I was with a business executive who was at the top of his field. He was a leader in his company. He and I had breakfast in Greenville several years ago. And he said, "Mike," he said, "I have some customers and clients that are just intimidating me. They're scary. They threaten me. Okay? And I don't know how to handle that situation." And as we sat there and talked, we came to the conclusion, as we got the Bible out and started talking about Scripture, that perfect love casts out, what's the next word? Fear. Ours is not a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And as we talked through that, we came to the conclusion that God wanted us to be like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ looked over Jerusalem. And as he looked out over Jerusalem, his heart was filled with compassion. And he wept over the city. Can you be afraid of somebody that you're weeping over? If you have love for them, if you have compassion for them, you will not fear them. So leading with love gives respect based on acceptance, respect based on truth, and respect based on compassion. Now let's talk about another attribute here of love, or another of leadership here. Another attribute of leadership here is leading with joy. Joy here is a sense of being, of well-being, experienced by one who knows all is well with the Lord. In other words, it's not related to circumstances. Joy is important when you lead people. You have to smile. You have to be filled with happiness, even though you just had oral surgery. Okay? Or something bad, painful happens in your life, you still smile at people. Dr. Pepper Company was borrowing $750 million from a syndication of 38 banks. The 38 banks chose 3 representatives to come negotiate the credit agreement. The credit agreement was this high, plus this high, plus this high, on a very big conference room table. The 3 representatives came along with their attorneys. So we had 6 people sitting across the table from us. And on our side of the table, it was myself and my treasurer and my attorney, my general counsel. So we're sitting there negotiating, and it's becoming tense. We're talking about dealing with stress, using joy to deal with stress here. It's becoming tense. And as it becomes tense, it's getting late. And we're on the first stack of papers here. And so the treasurer is a lady. She's sitting next to me, and she starts making a sandwich because we're going to be there for a long time. So she's making a sandwich, and she has a package of mayonnaise. And it's really tense, folks. I mean, we're not screaming at each other, but one notch down from that, it's pretty tense. And so she's sitting there holding this package of mayonnaise in her hand. It's a foil wrap package, and she's squeezing it because the tension in her hands. Now, this lady had what we call a big hairdo. She had a perm. You know where I'm going? Okay, we can all see it already. So you know what happened. She squeezes too hard. The mayonnaise goes up in her hair. That caused instant laughter. It caused joy at her expense. So she grabbed a paper towel, and she wiped out the mayonnaise out of her hair. It's permed, Okay. Now, for me to be talking about permed hair is really kind of a funny thing, isn't it, right now? But anyway, we're enjoying her hair and what's happening to it. And she gets the mayonnaise out, and now she's got a swirl that's greasy that's hanging in front of her face. And some of you will understand what I'm talking about, but it was a common artist at that time who had greasy swirled hair, and she looked like him. And so, anyway, the whole room was just lightened a lot. Joy is important in leadership. You know, we were still on the first stack, but after the joy came into the room and we had a good laugh together, guess what? We went through the second stack and the third stack just about as fast as we went through the first stack. It went well. Joy is an important attribute in leadership. So we got love, we got joy, and here's the next one here. Leading with peace. Peace is the inner calm that results from confidence in one's saving relationship with Christ. And the outer world would look at this as having it all together, okay? They're look outside looking at you. You look like you have it all together because you have peace in your heart. You have peace in your heart when there's a storm because the gospel is the center of your soul. The gospel gives everything else context so that when I go through a hard time, the gospel is my reference point towards everything else that's happening. After we signed the credit agreement with the 38 banks, a year or two later, we found that there was a group out there buying the stock of Dr. Pepper, and they bought a 6% interest in the company, and they were just kind of nudging that up to a higher and higher percentage. Well, we had to stop that because they weren't paying a control premium to gain a majority privilege in the number of shares. To stop that, we had to adopt a poison pill, which I will not try to explain to you today. It sounds treacherous and terrible. Basically, it's a way of bankrupting the company and suing the person who's creeping up on the stock. But nonetheless, okay, you got to come to class to get the full picture of what's going on here, okay? But we had to get 38 banks to vote in favor of adopting the poison pill. We had 48 hours. Some of those banks were in Japan. They're consensus-based in their decision-making. It takes them a while to make a decision. Some of those were in Scandinavia, some were in France, and some were in Germany, and a lot were in the United States in four different time zones. Can you imagine the storm that's going on? And by the way, if we don't get it done, guess who's in big trouble? Right here, okay? There was a lot of stress, there was a lot of storm, but in the midst of the storm, there was calm. You know what? I have a saving relationship through Jesus Christ. I have the gospel, and I don't have to worry about the storm. You want to know how it went? They all said yes. That's another story in itself. But we got them all in. We gave them tours of Dr. Pepper before all this happened. Gave them free Dr. Pepper golf balls. I think that did it more than anything else. But the point here is not the golf balls. The point is that we can have peace in our hearts in our saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, I think you're starting to see the sequence here. But the next point we're talking about this morning is long-suffering. Leading with long-suffering. Long-suffering is a willingness to accept irritating or painful situations. My application here is dealing with high-maintenance customers. High-maintenance customers are investors, they're customers, and they're analysts on Wall Street when you're working in a financial capacity. Analysts on Wall Street are prima donnas. They think they own the world, and when they call, they expect you to jump right now, run to the phone, answer the phone. Had to deal with high-maintenance customers. My question to you is, do you have any high-maintenance customers around you, otherwise known as roommates? Do you have any freshman roommates? How many have freshman roommates? How many have roommates that are seniors? Okay, all of you who raised your hand have high-maintenance customers. How many of you serve on teams in some of your classes? You have teams in your classes and you're working on projects with them. Okay, high maintenance customers. You see what I'm talking about? Leadership here requires a willingness to accept irritating and painful situations. Let me give you a few more areas here. Leadership involves kindness. It's having a tender concern for the people around you. This dovetails nicely with love. Leadership involves goodness, which is a moral and spiritual excellence and integrity. Can I just spend a little bit of time here on integrity? My boss at Dr. Pepper used to say, Mike, I trust you with my money. And this was his way of talking. He says, I trust you with my wife. And he says, but I don't trust you with my pen. That sounds really strange. My boss and I would work together at a table a lot, and we would sit at a table and work on a problem, and we'd grab a pen and write something down, grab a pen and write something down. And at the end of the meeting, I'd go rushing out because I was so focused on fixing the problem that I took his pen. And after several years of working with my boss, I had a stash. So he always bugged me on having integrity with keeping his pens. But, you know, that's okay. Integrity and leadership, having leadership and integrity, even the person that you want to vote for in the future here, you want somebody with integrity. Along with goodness is leading with faithfulness, which is loyalty and being trustworthy. Leading here also involves an attribute here called gentleness, which is being meek. And look at that middle word there, humble. Being humble and being teachable, especially before our God. I'll bring one more attribute up here. Leading with self-control. Leading with self-control means restraining passions and restraining appetites. And the application that I got here for you is anger management. When I was working at Dr. Pepper, there were two people in the room. We were trying to decide on a general ledger system to pick for both 7-Up and Dr. Pepper. And so I was listening to both persons give their reasons for having their choice of software, and eventually I had to make a decision. Well, when I made the decision, the person who didn't win stood up, got right in my face, said many, many bad words, and just stood right over the top of me. Folks, I was bigger than him. I was stronger than him. I grew up on the south side of Chicago, so I knew what to do to him. Okay, but by God's grace, again, like I said, I didn't do everything right in life. But in this case, God gave me grace to simply restrain myself. There's a lot of young men in here. And young men and older men, we need help restraining our passions. God, help me to surrender my passions to Christ. Lord, help me to be in control. That man eventually left the company. Is that a surprise? Yeah, he left the company. And we had to replace him with somebody else. But by God's grace, he allowed us to restrain and have self-control. Now, let's wrap things up here a little bit. Principles of leadership, folks, are love, joy, peace. They're long-suffering. They're kindness. They're goodness. They're faithfulness. They're gentleness. And they're self-control. So I'm kind of preaching backwards. Okay? Kind of preaching backwards into Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 says, guys, you want to be leaders? Here's your text. We bring it up at the end. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let me tie this into a series we did here on campus, because Dr. Pettit brought a whole series on being led by the Holy Spirit. Can I tie that in? With this sentence here, if we are led by the Holy Spirit, we will produce the fruit of the Spirit. Dear God, help me to be led by your Holy Spirit in my everyday life as I try to be a leader right here in Bob Jones campus. And as I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, God, help me to produce the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And one more comment here. This fruit of the Holy Spirit will enable us to become leaders for our God. You love God. You want God to use your life. If you want God to use your life, say, God, help me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Help me to walk in the Spirit every single day. And Lord, help me to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, let's bow our heads. Dear Father, we thank you for the attentiveness of each guy that's been sitting here today. And Lord, we thank you for the clarity of Galatians chapter 5, which admonishes us, Lord, to walk in the Spirit and, Lord, have the fruits of the Spirit in our life. Lord, would you help these guys? Help them today. And, Lord, throughout the rest of this semester, Lord, to focus on having the fruits of the Spirit in their life so that, Lord, you can use them to lead their families someday, to lead their churches someday, and, Lord, to be leaders in the workplace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.